Thank you, Mother. Hare Krishna, I welcome everybody to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today, we are having Janmashtami special Krishna Katha Mela by all our coordinators. So today we have His Grace Sureshwar Shyam Prabhu to enlighten us on the topic, the gopis attracted by the flute. So I welcome Sureshwar Shyam Prabhu. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for your valuable time and association. Before I hand over the call to you, I would like to hand over the call to Preeti Vilasni Mataji for your brief introduction. Please, Mataji, take over the call. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much. Welcome, everyone. We are very, very excited to continue our coordinators' month celebrations. Where we have different coordinators and different regular attendees from Bhakti Sangha giving classes on the stories of Sri Krishna from the Krishna book and basically the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So today we have His Grace Sureshwar Shyam Prabhu. Sureshwar Shyam Prabhu is a disciple of His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. Prabhuji conducts Bhakti Vriksha in Charlotte, North Carolina. He enthusiastically does book distribution to help spread the wisdom and glories of bhakti to others. His Grace Sureshwar Shyam Prabhu is a board member of ISKCON Charlotte, and he's in charge of the finances. He manages book purchase and book distribution in Charlotte. He's very enthusiastic and a humble worker, and always he takes the lead in organizing bhakti events in Charlotte. It's impossible to have a bhakti event in Charlotte without initial preparation and planning by His Grace Sureshwar Shyam Prabhu. He visits the Deal and Florida ashram regularly and is working hard to fulfill the vision of his spiritual master, His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. Prabhuji has started many outreach programs recently, he has also started a Zoom session for the systematic study of the Bhagavad Gita from lectures, notes, and guidance of His Grace Balram Shakti Prabhu. He also conducts Bhagavad Gita classes in Charlotte, and he's a regular attendee of the Bhakti Sangha Japa group, and he asks meaningful questions and takes many notes. He's often been our last minute speaker on Bhakti Sangha, and we are extremely grateful to his services. He's very knowledgeable, and we have seen his expertise in various scriptures. So we are very fortunate to have him on the call, and he'll be speaking on the flute, the gopis, glorify the flute of Sri Krishna. Prabhu, you can take over.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mataji. Lofty introduction. And we can think and see how much we can follow to that part of the introduction. So today, like Mataji said, we will be doing 21st chapter from Krishna book for next 45 to 50 minutes. And so we'll start with prayers. I'll share my screen. Okay. So, Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurul Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrushabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So I would like to offer a prayer from Antilila, before I start the discussion that this prayer is very beneficial because the topics about Lord Krishna are difficult to understand. We can understand through prayers and mercy of devotees and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this verse goes like this from Antalila. Yeah, can you hear me, Mataji? Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you well.
Yeah, thank you. So this verse goes like this. Pangum langayate shailam, mukham avartayet shrutim, yat kripatam aham vande Krishna Chaitanya Ishwaram. So pangum langayate shailam. So a lame man can cross over the mountain, right? And a dumb man, right, mukham avartayet shrutim, a dumb man can recite the scriptures. So allegorically representing that, you know, when we have yat kripatam aham vande Krishna Chaitanya Ishwaram, so when we have mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so we can, you know, do, you know, whatever is impossible, right? So bhakti practicing in this Kali Yuga, doing our reading, chanting is like great austerity. So if you have mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it becomes very easy. So here, I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even a lame man can cross over a mountain and a dumb man can recite Vedic literature. So this is a nice verse from Antalila chapter 1. And the discussion about Krishna's pastimes from Krishna book, right? That's the main concept. So I was thinking, you know, when I was asked which chapter to talk, then I was picking few chapters, and the chapters like the prayers by the personified Vedas, the 87th chapter I was thinking, but it was long. So I thought in an hour or 50 minutes, it will be impossible to summarize. Then I picked a small chapter. This chapter, Venu Gita, like the chapter titled as The Gopis Glorify the Song of Krishna's Flute. So this chapter has only 20 verses. But believe me, it was mind-blowing for me. I have a big surprise for all of you at the end, what I have gone through when I picked this chapter. So I will do that at the end. So here, so we know, Krishna has, Lord Krishna, Sri Krishna has four additional qualities, 60 plus four additional qualities. So these are the four additional qualities that Lord Krishna has. It is Leela Madhurya, right? His pastimes, which invoke those loving nature that is hidden within our hearts, right? Leela Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, in his activities of conjugal love, he is always surrounded by his dear devotees who possesses unequal love for him, and Venu Madhurya, right? He attracts the minds of all through the melodious vibrations of his flute. So this is our main aspect of discussion today. He attracts the minds of all through the melodious vibrations of his flute. You describing this Venu Madhurya, all other things also have been described in this chapter. Even Rupa Madhurya, his beauty is exclusively defined, right, in this chapter. So when this chapter, so these are the four exclusive qualities that Lord Krishna has. And he has it to the highest extent, right? Above that, nobody has them. Like even Venu Madhurya, if you see, Lord Krishna plays flute, even Balramji plays flute, and even the Gopas play the flute. But when Krishna plays, it is so melodious, it is the highest melody possible. So that's what it means, right? Venu Madhurya. He's playing a flute. It is said that moving beings become non-moving and non-moving beings become moving. That is very puzzling, right? Moving beings become non-moving. And non-moving beings become moving. Like trees, we will see what happens to the trees when they hear the melodious vibrations of Lord Krishna. And here, just to see, say, there are different kinds of flute. There is Venu, Venu, Murli and Vamshi. You know, we are familiar with these names, Venu, Murli and Vamshi. Venu is a very small flute, like it's saying here, 6 inches, and it has 6 holes. So that's the main flute topic for today. And Krishna is using that flute in this chapter when he's entering the forest along with the gopas, the cows and Balram. And Murli is, like mentioned here, it is 18 inches long, right? And the Vamshi is like 15 inches long and it has 9 holes. And if you see in Antyalila chapter 1, this topic of flute comes a lot, right? We see there the flute is being decorated with Vaidurya jewels and it has gold plating. So depending on the flute, how it is decorated, right, it might have different names. But on a high level, these are the 3 flutes that Lord Krishna uses for a different purpose, right? So today we will be seeing mostly about Venu, right? So this chapter, like I said, I felt very, very interesting. And I was mesmerized when I heard few things on this chapter. So I will try to summarize and put forward my realizations, what I have heard from seniors and what is scripted in the 21st chapter of Bhagavatam. So what we will do is we'll quickly read the summary of this chapter, right? So what's happening is this chapter describes how Lord Sri Krishna entered the enchanting forest of Vrindavan upon the arrival of autumn season, and the prizes, the young covered girls sang when they heard the vibration of his flute. Right? So this part is like first 4 or 5 verses, and the next part is the gopi geet that the covered girls are singing in the glorification when they hear the flute. Right? So we can't see Krishna's beauty, we can't hear the flute, right? But how can we realize the sound of the flute? It is saying it is great sound, it is mesmerizing in everybody, right? So how we can hear the flute or Krishna's beauty is through Srimad Bhagavatam, the pastimes, through our ears, and when we hear from different acharyas and read from Prabhupada's purports. So it is through the ears we can realize the beauty of Krishna, because if we don't hear, even when we see the Lord, we don't understand much, right? We don't see, we think him as an ordinary person or we think him as a great person. If we can hear, then the Lord, he is embedded in our heart. We can always feel him, right? So that's the glorious thing about this hearing, right? When we hear, that's what we are doing. We are doing Shravanam and Kirtanam. Right? When I heard a few lectures on this, I couldn't stop without Smarana, right? So when we do Shravanam, Kirtanam properly, Smaranam is default. Thinking about the Lord is default. That's what we see the gopis. You know, they are thinking so much about the Supreme Lord, right? So as Lord Krishna and Balaram and their cowherd friends entered the forest to graze the cows, Krishna began playing his flute. The gopis heard the enchanting flute song and understood that Krishna was entering the forest. Then they narrated to each other the Lord's various activities. So when gopis heard it, they understood that Krishna was going to the forest, and they knew what all is happening. And now through their parasparam, right, discussion that's happening, we can really feel the sound of the flute. Right? What's happening is seen here. To see Krishna playing his flute while taking the cows to pasture in the highest perfection of the highs, is the highest perfection of the highs. Right? To see Krishna going into the forest is the highest perfection of the highs. Right? So what pious activities has this flute performed that unable him to freely drink the nectar of Krishna's lips? The gopis are saying, you know, about the flute. And next, they keep saying like this from 7th verse to 20 verse. This is the discussion that the gopis have. They sit around and they discuss these aspects about Krishna's playing the flute and how the nature is around in the Vrindavan forest is changing when they hear the Venu Gita, right? The song that is flowing from the Krishna's flute, right? So we'll continue. A blessing was cowherd girls difficult to achieve, right? So when the flute has got such a great mercy, but the cowherd, these cowherd girls of gopis in the Vrindavan have difficult to achieve. Right? Hearing the song of Krishna's flute, the peacocks dance and all other creatures become stunned when they see them. Right? Here describing about the peacocks. Demigoddesses traveling through the sky in their aeroplanes are vexed by Cupid and their garments become loose. The ears of the cow stand on end as they drink the nectar of the flute song, and their calves simply stand stunned. The milk that they have been drinking from their mother udders still in their mouths. So this is the position of the cows. Like their ear, they are opening their ears wide open, like as an instrument, so that they can receive the song from the flute. So here, next, the birds take shelter of the branches of the tree and close their eyes, listening to the song of Krishna's flute with rapt attention. Now the birds generally move about freely. Now they're sitting and deeply meditating on the flute song with rapt attention, right? So I said, moving things become non-moving. So this is one example. Birds sitting still on the branches and listening. Right. So next, the flowing rivers become perturbed by conjugal attraction of Krishna and stopping their flow, embrace Krishna's lotus feet with the arms of their waves. So the rivers become perturbed and their waves are embracing lotus feet of Krishna, and their waves, when they embrace, right, their waves are acting as arms and they are giving the lotus flower to Krishna. And what are the clouds doing? While the clouds serve as a parasols means umbrella, right? While the clouds serve as parasols to shade Krishna's head from the hot sun, right? The aborigine women of the Shabara race, seeing the grass stained by the red kumkum adorning the Lord's lotus feet, smear this vermilion powder on their breasts and faces to alleviate the distress created by the Cupid. So this is what the local aborigine girls are doing. You know, they're sprinkling that kumkum powder that fell from the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna onto their bodies. So now last, right? Govardhan Hill offers grass and various kinds of fruits and bulbous roots in worship of Lord Sri Krishna. All the non-moving living beings take on the characteristics of moving creatures. And moving living beings become stationary. You see, the birds become stationary. And non-moving things take the characteristics of moving. So what does that mean is the trees, when they hear the sound of Krishna's flute, they tremble and they give out a lot of sap. So that's what they are moving, you know, they're trembling and they're giving a lot of sap. That means they're giving sap out of intense pleasure, or they're weeping and giving sap. Their crying is nothing but the sap, right? So this is the high level summary about the Gopi Geet. The gopis that they're sitting in a circle and discussing the different events that are happening when Krishna and Balaram with the cowherd boys entering the forest of Vrindavan and playing on the flute. What are the cows doing? What are the peacock doing? What are the trees doing? What is the river doing? Right? So all these aspects, and what is Govardhan Hill doing? Right? So now, so we'll go back here, right? So we have already covered this slide, right? 1 to 6, Krishna and Rama Gopai, right? Rama is here, Balaram, entering the Vrindaranyam, right? Entering the forest of Vrindavan. This Krishna entering the Vrindavan forest, he is like we can say the hero, right? In any movie, they introduce with so much pompous, right? That is very minute when we can see the description how Krishna is entering the Vrindavan forest. So next, we said the Gopi Geet in this chapter is from verse 7 to 20. So the gopis, parasparam of Krishna's melodious flute play, right? 7 to 20, this is happening. That's nothing but the Venu Geet. So this chapter is the starting point, right? The Venu Geet is very mild in describing the Madhurya Rasa. So there are other Geetas that I have made note, right? Later they come, like Yugala Geeta, Viraha Geeta, Brahmara Geeta, right? Gopi Geet that comes, right? Different Geetas come. One Prabhuji was saying, Gauranga Darshan Prabhu was saying, before we hear all these Geetas, we have to read Bhagavad Gita, right? Then we'll be able to understand these Geetas from a right perspective. Because in Bhagavad Gita, in 9th chapter, we see Krishna says, I'm giving you the most confidential knowledge, right? He says he's giving Aishwarya and he's giving the sweet pastimes of the Lord, right? Then once we understand the position of the Supreme Lord, then his sweet pastimes become sweeter and sweeter. So that's what he says when he defines his yoga, his Aishwarya, his greatness, right? He's saying that word he used, yoga Aishwarya, right? It is like bewildering. So to the common person, if we don't understand, so hearing from acharyas and senior devotees, you know, clarifies so many aspects. And this, it said that Bhagavatam is pibat amrutam, right? Bhagavata pibat amrutam. We can drink Bhagavatam through our ears, right? That's how I want to end my presentation. Definitely hope I can create that at the end. What I have heard, like from this chapter, I have kept it the secret at the end, last 20 minutes. I definitely want to focus on that and give as much as I can what I have heard, right? So we will move on. So these are all the next like 7-8 slides or the different aspects we see, like what we read in the summary of this chapter, right? So Krishna is playing the flute and along with his covered boys and Balaramji, they are entering the forest, right? So why they are entering? To herd the cows, so that the cows can feed the grass and evening they will come back, right? That's what is happening. So here. So when Krishna and Balaram and the gopis are going to, and Krishna starts playing the flute, so the gopis, their hearts became shaken up, right? And you know, you see this gopi sitting here, these two gopis are discussing, and they become restless, right? When the young ladies in the cowherd village of Raja heard the song of Krishna's flute, which arouses the influence of Cupid, some of them privately began describing different qualities of their intimate friends. Describing Krishna's qualities to their intimate friends, right? So this is what's happening with the gopis when they hear the flute. Oh, they couldn't stay quiet, so they started conversing, right? And then what happens now? This, because they could not do that, they sit in a circle and discuss about the different glories about Lord Krishna playing the flute, right? And now here we see that what's happening here. Okay, I'll skip this slide, I already covered it. So here, if you see, now they're talking about the flute that we briefly touched in the summary part. They're talking about the flute that Krishna is playing. I mentioned that he's playing the Venu flute, right? So they're thinking, what pious activities has this flute performed that enable him to freely drink the nectar of Krishna's lips? A blessing we covered girls find difficult to achieve, right? So they're mesmerized. Why this flute, you know, can stay so close to the Supreme Lord, right? And we will talk more about the flute a little later, but I would like to refer to few points from Antya Leela, just to read how the gopis are different sakis, they describe about the flute, right? So it's saying in Antalila 162 text, my dear friend, the flute, it appears that you have been born of a very good family, for your residence is in the hands of Sri Krishna. By birth, you are simple and not at all crooked. Why then have you taken initiation into this dangerous mantra that enchants the assembled gopis? So this is from, I think, Radharani is speaking this, right? And then next one, 163, this is Chandravali is speaking, right? So my dear friend, the flute, you are actually full of many holes or faults, right? They're saying holes as faults. They criticize the flute like, you know, very hard. You are light, hard, useless, and full of knots. You know, right? The bamboo stick has a lot of knots, right? It has holes, no juice, nothing, right? What kind of pious activities have engaged you in the service of being kissed by the Lord and embraced by his hands? So Chandravali is saying, you know, very hard way. You know, what service have you done? You know, you're juiceless, hard, light, full of knots and only holes, right? So next one, we'll see here one more and then we go back. My dear friend, this newly youthful Lord Sri Krishna, the moon in the family of Nanda Maharaja, is so beautiful that it defies the beauty of cluster of valuable jewels. All glories to the vibration of his flute, for it is cunningly breaking the patience of the chaste ladies by loosening their belts and tight dresses. That's what we have seen in the summary also, that when the demigoddesses along with their husbands glowing in the aeroplanes, you know, when they hear Krishna's flute, that's what they experience, right? So these are a few references about the flute, you know, how they think, how cunning it is, how crooked it is, right? So I'll go back to my presentation here. That's what the gopis are thinking about the flute. Why it is, what pious activities has it done? Krishna is holding in his hands and he's playing his through the lips. So next one here, this is an interesting thing. You know, when Krishna plays the flute, all the animals become stunned. Like we saw the birds sitting on the stem branches of a tree and they're stationary. They're just listening. But peacocks, they don't get stunned. They get into a dancing. They dance like crazy, these peacocks, right? So this peacock aspect will come again here, but this is slightly different from what other birds do. Peacocks dance crazy when Krishna is playing the flute. And we saw this, right? The demigoddesses traveling through the sky in their aeroplanes are vexed by Cupid and their garments become loose, right? When Krishna is playing flute and they hear to it, right here. So here, if you see, two things are given. We see the cows and the calves. The cows with their raised ears, as these ears they are using as a vessel to hear the nectar of the flute song flowing out of Krishna's mouth. And they are crying. And the calves who were drinking milk, they stopped drinking and whatever milk was in their mouth, they didn't even swallow it, right? Because they are more absorbed in hearing to the flute sound of Lord Krishna. This is happening with what's happening with the cows and calves and birds. We have already seen this, what happened with the birds. So the birds are sitting on the tree with full attention, and it's saying that they look like great sages, right? Like when Sukadeva Goswami is narrating, Parikshit also is attentively listening, right? He has not eaten, right? So it's difficult to pay that much attention. We might have seen, you know, it is one hour late, we feel that we are hungry and we can't be attentive. But Parikshit Maharaj is sitting and hearing to Sukadeva Goswami, he has not eaten for a few days now, right? The birds, they feel like, you know, surely these birds are on the same level as great sages. And now next going on. And we briefly touched on the river. These rivers, Yamuna and get so much perturbed, right? They go in the wrong direction. It's rare, right? Thinking, and recently when this Ida came, it was in the news that this Mississippi River, because of the wind, it was going in the wrong direction, right? At least we have some practical example. Now here also we see that they're going in the wrong direction. Their waves are acting as arms and offering the lotus flowers to the Supreme Lord. If you see here, they're offering the lotus flower to the Supreme Lord, Murari here. Then with the arms of their waves, the rivers embrace Murari's lotus feet and holding on to them, present offering of lotus flowers. So this is what the rivers are doing when they hear the Krishna's flute sound. So what are the clouds doing, right? Because it's autumn season, the sun, you know, in Vrindavan, it's hot. So what the clouds have done is, they have expanded out of love, they have expanded themselves, and they have gone up in the sky, and they have given shade, as Prabhupada writes, parasols. Parasol is like an umbrella or shade, a bigger umbrella, right? And that's what, because the cows, Lord Krishna, his gopis, can be peaceful and not be, you know, sidetracked or disturbed by the intensely burning sun, right? So that's what's happening. And here we saw these aborigine girls, the local girls of Vrindavan, are taking the kumkum from Krishna's lotus feet that has fallen onto the grasses and decorating their bodies, right? And here, Govardhan Hill, we know it's called Govardhan Hill, becomes very delightful because it's offering so many things. Like one of them is, it's a nice fine grass it offers so that the cows can graze and give, you know, a good quality of milk, right? And Govardhan Hill is very, very blissful on hearing the Krishna's flute. Right? This is what's happening with Govardhan. And we see, you know, that's what the last verse says, right? Thus narrating to one another, playful mates of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he wandered about in Vrindavan forest, the gopis become fully absorbed in thoughts of him. So that's what we see. They have sat around, they are discussing, right, about the pastimes of the Lord, Machita, Madgata, Prana, Bodhayantas, Parasparam. That we see in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. I'll just go there and read that verse and we'll come back here. So here, 10th chapter, right? Machita madgata prana bodayanta parasparam katayantas chamam nityam tushyanti charamanti cha. So here the translation goes, the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from enlightening, from always enlightening one another and conversing about you. That's what exactly the gopis are doing. They have intense bliss. They have been conversing, bodhayanta, each other, talking to each other, and parasparam among themselves about what? Katayantas chan, right? About the Lord Sri Krishna playing flute while going into the forest of Vrindavan, right? So I'll go back here. So this is what's happening, a discussion happening between Maharaj Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami. Right? And both of them go into trance. They try to wake each other up. And like I said, this is the after Lord Krishna has performed some great pastimes of killing Agasur, right? Suputana and all. Now this is the entering of that Madhurya pastimes that happen. And already, you know, Parikshit Maharaj, you know, goes into trance, right? So that's what happens, and they try to, you know, wake each other up. In the slokas, it was there. You know, so that's what's happening. And now I wanted to, yeah, thanks. I saved a lot of time. So here I wanted to come to the most interesting part. So what happened was, I was thinking which chapter to present, and I was confused myself. Then I thought, okay, I will take a chapter which has small verses, less number of verses. And this chapter had only 20 verses. Surprisingly, like after I picked this chapter, and one thing happened. I heard Amrendra Prabhu's lecture on verse 5. Verse 5 from this chapter is mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. He gave lecture for at least 3-4 hours. And he said, I can give lecture for more hours. More hours. And he explained that verse so nicely. One verse that we will see word by word because we have a good amount of time. So I am very grateful to Amrendra Prabhu for detailedly explaining one verse from different acharyas and from different perspective. And very grateful to Gauranga Darshan Prabhu. I used a lot of his pictures from one of the presentation that he did. It is there on YouTube. So I used those pictures from him. I'm very, very grateful to both of them. And this is the verse. This is the verse which describes all the aspects of Lord Shri Krishna, all the four the special qualities, transcendental qualities that Lord Krishna has, right? So this verse, I will recite few times and then we will hear Amrendra Prabhu's recitation also, because you know, if I make a mistake, that rasa is not there in this verse, right? We have to hear, and each word we will discuss in the next 15 to 20 minutes, each word of this verse, we will discuss in detail, right? So this verse goes like this. Baraha pidam natavara vapu karanayo karunikaram bhibradvasaha kanaka kapisham vaijayantim chamalam randran venuradara sudayo apurayan gopa vrindair Vrindaranyam sapadaramanam pravishad gita kirtihi. Barha pidam natavara vaphu karanyaho karunikaram. So this verse, right, describes the Rupa Madhurya, the bodily beauty of Lord Shri Krishna. And this verse, Prabhuji was saying, is quoted by many acharyas in from a different perspective, like we will see a few perspectives. And this verse is in the meter of this verse. If you see, I'm very bad in singing, but if you see this verse, Manda Kranta means this verse has 17 syllables, right? Bhagavad Gita verse have 8 syllables in each line. This verse has 17 syllables. So Manda Kranta is a special meter, right? So what happens is the first 4 words go slow. The next 6 words, right? Barha, Pidam, like the next 6 verses go faster. And then the last 7 go again in a medium. So slow, fast and medium, right? So it gives a special effect. And I think Kalidas ji has written a book on this verse. And in this meter, right? It is said that it is very difficult, right, to get words, to make sure they are fitting, you know, this 17 syllables in each line, right? So it's very difficult. And this verse is here, is being narrated by Vyasanandan, right? Sukadeva Goswami is describing about Nandanandan, right? So this verse is describing Nandanandan, the Krishna's beauty, described by Vyasanandan, right? Here it is Sri Sukadeva Goswami, right? So here we can see from this verse that we can see Krishna through our ears, right? Here it's spelled wrong, but yeah, we can see Krishna through our ear. And this verse, what happened is when Sukadeva Goswami, we know that in 3-2, 23, Aho, Bakiyam, Stanakala, Kutam, when he heard, he was internally mesmerized, he changed. But when he heard this verse, externally, when he could see the Lord's beauty externally, and now both of them, the third canto verse and the 10th canto verse completely changed him, right? So his heart was changed internally. He could feel the Krishna's Krishna's potency, how even when Putana wants to kill Krishna with Stanakala Kutam, with very bad poison, right? Still he gave her the position of Dhatri, a servant. And this verse, the beauty of Krishna is described in this verse. We will see the beauty with different words, right? So this is the meter used. Most of the acharyas have commented on the verse. And we can really feel Krishna through knowing the narration of this verse, right? I'll just play Amrinder Prabhu's here. Let's.
पिंडम दटवर अपोहो कर्णयो कर्णिकारम बिभ्रद्वाशय कनकचतुषम वैजयंतिम चरमाला रंधामेनो अधर सुधया अपूरणम गोपविंदैः वृंदारण्यं स्वदयाय प्राविशत गीत कीर्ति पापिनं तटवर अपोहो कर्णयो कर्णिकारम बिभ्रद्वाशय कनक चतुषम वैजयंतीं च माला
Yeah, this is Prabhuji sang it much better and with the proper meter. So I just wanted to make sure we hear the proper meter so that we can feel the effect. Now we will go word by word. So here, Baraha Pidam, what does that mean? Like as per translation, Baraha means a peacock feather. A Pidam is a few peacock feathers have been decorated on the Krishna's head. Baraha Pidam. Baraha means peacock, a Pidam means Apidam has few meanings, but one of them is few of them decorated on Krishna's head. Head means he's wearing that a cloth, a mukut, right? It's not a mukut, with the cloth, that pagdi. He's wearing that pagdi made of cloth and he has lot of peacock feathers, right? And we may think this verse is starting with Baraha Pidam. Why peacock feather, right? So we saw these peacocks, they don't get stunned when they see Lord Krishna playing the flute. Or even Krishna doesn't play the flute, when they just see Lord Krishna, they get stunned. They don't get stunned. They start dancing. And what happens is these peacocks, when they dance, they offer peacocks. These feathers fall out of their nice decorated that entire thing, right? The peacock, these feathers fall down and they're offering it to the Supreme Lord. That offering is nothing but as a patram, they're offering. And the Lord feels so blissful and so affectionate for the peacock that he wears the peacock feather like in his head. We might have seen, right, this pastime before, but so the Lord is very affectionate to the peacocks. And a lot of pastimes were defined about peacock. Prabhuji was elaborating so much on this Baraha Pidam, just this one word, that peacock on that peacock feather, it has the name of Radharani in it, right? We have to see it properly to identify that. And other thing was, these peacocks are very celibate, right? On required basis only, they try to use sex life for procreation only. Otherwise, they are very, you know, celibate animals. And when they see Lord Krishna, he's also like, like a black, like the color of the clouds, right? So when they see Krishna, they see the clouds, they say he sees his hello dhoti as lightning, they see the peacock feather as rainbow, right? and all that, right? They feel like it is, you know, it is about to rain, and they dance profusely, right? Even in 5.3 in Brahma Samhita, I think Lord Brahma says the same thing. I just opened and kept it. Yeah, here if you see, Venum Kwanantam Aravinda Dalaya Taksham Barhavatavsam Asa Asitam Buddha Sundarangam, right? Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobam, right? So here also Lord Brahma is saying Venum Kwanantam. So the Lord is playing the flute, and here also he's saying Barhavatavsam, right? Baraha again here is peacock feather, right? The Lord's head is decorated with peacock feather, right? So same thing, Lord Brahma is saying how the Lord plays the flute, and his head is decorated with peacock feathers, right? So this is about, in a high level summary, about Barha Pidam. And next coming to Natavara Vapuhu. So Nata means, we know, one straight meaning is dance, right? Nata also means actor, right? So Natavara, Vara means a supreme dancer, a best dancer. So that's what Natavara means. And then Vapu means his body. When he starts entering the forest, he tucks in his dhoti, right? And he adjusts his garland so that now he can dance and freely move while he's going into the forest. So these are Natavara Vapu. So we know Nata means dance or actor. Right, Vara means the best, and Vapuhi is body. So he has adjusted his body in such a way that his ankle bells or his garlands or his earrings and all, so that now he can freely dance. And when Lord Krishna freely dances, what happens is everybody, you know, enjoys, but apsaras are, you know, watching and taking notes, so that they will, when Lord performs new dance steps, they take notes and train themselves so that they can perform these dance steps in the future, right? This is about Natavara Vapuhu. And coming to the next verse, Karanyo Karunikaram, right? You know, Karana means ear, right? Karanayo in the plural sense means ears, right? Karanayo Karunikaram, right? Karunikaram are the flowers. So these are, it could be lotus flower, it could be color of blue or yellow. So Prabhupada translated it as blue lotus flower, lotus-like flower. And Prabhuji mentioned, like other, as per few acharyas, it is yellow color. So few mesmerizing things about this Karanayo Karunikaram, right? Karanayo is 2 years and plural sense, and Karunikaram is one flower, single flower. So what's happening with this flower is Krishna, he puts the yellow color flower in the ear and he immediately changes, like he's a small boy, right? So he changes from one ear to other ear to, he feels restless, he's changing it, right? Like small boys do. So what happens, Acharya's comment is one flower, but it looks like two flowers because we don't know which ear the Lord is wearing, right? And few things about this Karunikaram flower is the Lord, he's changing from one ear to other ear when they take some turns. So he's giving sanket, he's giving some direction to the gopis. So this side of the forest I'm going, right? So if they're making a right turn, he changes from his left ear to the right ear, right? So he's giving an indirect indication that where they're heading into the forest. And other things that Acharyas, that Prabhuji was mentioning was this yellow color. When he turns, he can see the flower. And because of it being yellow color, it is like a hue of Radharani. It reminds him of Radharani, right? Because he wears, that part I will come later, but so it reminds him of Radharani whenever he stays turning his head, right? So this is about very few aspects of Karanayo Karunikaram, right? So we will move on. Now, it coming to the dress, the dhoti that Lord Krishna is wearing, right? So Bhibrat means just wear, he's wearing something. What is he wearing? Vasaha, like he's wearing a garment of how that garment, what color of the garment, you know, Kanaka means gold, right? His garment is Kapisham is yellow. So his garment is golden yellow, right? Why he wears golden yellow garment is whenever he looks down, right? It is golden yellow and it remembers, it reminds him of again Radharani. When he is looking down, he can still is this Kanaka Kapisham, his yellow garment. And when he sees sides also, he can see the Karunayo Karinikaram, that in the ear, he can see the flower, yellow color flower, and he can remember Radharani. So these are a few things about this Bibhrad Vasaha Kanaka Kapisham. And coming to the next, this is the most interesting point, right? What is Krishna wearing? He's wearing a garland. Garland, what garland it is? Vaijayantim cha malam. So what garland it is? It's Vaijayantim cha malam. So what is the speciality of this Vaijayanti mala? Malam, mala means, you know, right, garland. So this Vaijayanti mala is made up of five flowers, right? It is Mandara, Kunda, Parijata, Kamala and Tulsi. So these are the five flowers this garland is made up of. These are the five forest flowers. And it looks so beautiful with this Mandara, Kunda, Parijata, Kamala and Tulsi flowers, right? So lot of things were mentioned about these flowers and all. But one interesting point about I noted here is about Kunda. Kunda is also one of the flower, and we know Krishna is called Mukunda, the giver of liberation. And other thing is defined is that Krishna's face looks like, you know, this Kunda's flower. That's why also it's smiley. That's why also it's called, he's called Mukunda. And other thing what happens is this Kunda flower is very beautiful, right? And it sees itself, Krishna, his face, and it bends down in shame. It sees Krishna, oh, this Krishna is so beautiful, and it bends down in shame. Right? That's why Krishna also called Mukunda. Right? So this Vaijayanti garland is made up of five forest flowers, which is Mandara, Kunda, Parijata, Kamala, and Tulsi flowers. And one more interesting point about this Vaijayanti mala is, we know Jayanti means victory. So, you know, Krishna had a lot of victories before this. This is 21st chapter, right? He killed so many demons. So Jayanti means victory, but Vai means, you know, special kind of victory, right? Vai means this first word, Vai Jayanti, right? Vai means a special kind of victory. What is that special kind of victory? He has won the hearts of Brajvasis and the gopis, right? They are very delightful to see the Lord. So that's why the Lord, he has become victorious, because he has won the mind, the hearts and minds of these Brajvasis. That's why he's wearing this Vaijayanti mala. It, like that, so many aspects were different. I just picked few. And moving on to the next part, right? So the next part is coming to the flute, right? Randran Venur Adara Sudaya Purayan Gopa Vrindhair, right? So what's happening is we know Randran is holes, Venur is flute, Adara is lips, right? So Krishna is playing the flute, this Venu, you know, is blowing that air into those holes, right? And how does it sound like? It sounds like Sudhaya with nectar, right? It is filled like Apuryan, right? It is filled with nectar, right? And so Gopa, Gopa Vrindaha, so all these cowherd boys along with Krishna, Balaram, they're all happily going. And what are they doing? They are Gita Kirtihi. They are nicely singing all the pastimes of Lord Krishna, and Krishna is playing the flute, right? So it is a magnanimous entrance into the forest of Vrindavan with all these gopas. And it is said that Gita Kirtihi means some gopas are in the front, some gopas are in the back, right? So they are singing the glories of Lord Krishna. He has done so many wonderful pastimes so far. And Krishna is listening. Oh, I can use give these pastimes later on. He's listening from them and he's also relishing. And it is said that Prabhuji was saying that's how Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita later on. Hearing this Gita, these songs from these gopis, he spoke Bhagavad Gita later on. And few aspects of this Venu is it has, like we say, right, six holes. So these represents the six anarthas that we have, the unwanted things, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. Right? So when we hear the song of Lord Krishna through his flute, or is a hear the pastimes of the Lord entering Vrindavan and playing the flute, so all these six anarthas will be eradicated from our mind, right, from our heart. So, and then the flute is a straight, right? Inside is air and outside also flute, it has air. So there is no duplicity in the flute, right? And one wonderful thing about Randran is the Randran, the holes have no shelter, right? So they are open. So what is said that Krishna is giving the shelter through his fingers or through his adhara, through his mouth, right? He's giving the shelters to the six holes that are there on the flute. So this is about a small summarized form of this verse. So coming to the last verse, right? What are they doing? They are entering Vrindaranyam, right? Vrindaranyam, you know, Aranyam is forest. So they are entering the forest, and Krishna with his own feet, Swapada, right? With his own feet, Ramanam, right? He's this entering his feet is acting as a Ramanam to the Vrindavan forest. Like lot of aspects are defined. What the gopis and the covered women of Vrindavan do is Swapada, right? Krishna doesn't wear anything on the feet because the cows don't wear. The Krishna also doesn't want to wear anything on his feet. So all these pebbles may pierce Krishna's feet. So the elder gopis in the evening or night, they go and clear the pathway where Krishna is clearing, right? So when Krishna goes into the forest, that route. So what Krishna does is he clears obstacles in there for them in bhakti. So when they clear the stones on the in the forest where Krishna goes, he clears their obstacles in their path of bhakti. And Vrindavan, this Vrindadevi, this earth, is becoming happy, Ramanam, because of it is having direct contact of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Right? And what are they doing? So, Vrindaranyam Swapada Ramanam Pravishad Gita Kirtihi. They are entering the forest and singing gloriously, right, about different pastimes of the Lord. Who the Gopas, Gopa Vrindhair, they are doing Gita Kirti and entering blissfully into the forest. So, this is a brief summary about the verse. And I was very blissful that I picked this chapter, and I was blissful when I searched on YouTube just for this one verse, any enchanting verse in this chapter, I could find this. And believe me, very nice, amazing explanations by many, many acharyas. Amrinder Prabhu has summarized this verse. So in brief, this is the verse. So what it says, the translation is, wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head, blue karnika flowers on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, right? We saw Kanaka Kapisham, as brilliant as gold, and the Vaijayanti garland, right? Vaijayanti incha malam. Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers as he entered the forest of Vrindavan. Greatest of dancers, Natavara Vapuhu. Right? Greatest of the dancer, Vara, Natavara Vapuhu. Enter the Vrindavan, here it's in Vrindavaranyam, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints. Swapadam Ramanam, Swapadam Ramanam, right? So entering is Pravishad, right? And then he filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, right? Randram Venur Adara Sudaya Purayan, right? So he filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips. And the covered boys sang his glories. So the Gopa Vrindai were doing Gita Kirtihi. They were singing his glories. So these are a few aspects. We saw the summary of this chapter. And we saw one verse which is describing the beauty of Lord Krishna. And he said that through Bhagavatam and devotees, we can really, really drink the beauty of Lord Krishna. And instead of seeing is not a big thing, but drinking and having it in our heart and relishing it is more critical. So please, we have one more day left as weekend. So please meditate on this verse. This is 10th canto, 21st chapter, 5th verse. So I'll play again from Amrendra Prabhu's tune, because it is 17 syllables. So
Pindam Tatavara Boho Karnayo Karnitaram Bibhradvasa Karnate Chapisham Vajayantim Chamala Randhamino Adhaya Sudhaya Kapuram Gopavindai Brindaranyam Svadaram Pradishagita Kirti Papinam Tatavaravoho Karnayo Karnitaram Bibhradvasa Karnate Chapisham Vajayantim Chamalam
So thank you all for giving me this opportunity, and really I got an opportunity to read this chapter and understand from the great Vaishnavas from different perspective. And I can definitely say at least I drank something when this verse was explained, right? I didn't literally knew what that Pibata Bhagavata Amrutam mean, right? How to drink that Bhagavatam. At least I got a glimpse of how Bhagavatam should be heard and drank, right? So thank you all. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Ananta Koti Vaishnavrindaki Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Jai. Thank you so much, Prabhu. I apologize for not being on video, but I really want to say a few things. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. You have really drunk it and you have digested it. And that's how when you are speaking it, we are able to relish it with our ears, and we are able to take it to our heart. We are able to drink it, and also it has definitely resulted in some quantity of smaranam, as you initially mentioned in the lecture, that would be your goal. Definitely, yes, your goal is fulfilled. It might not be an intense smaranam because we are not qualified for that, but then at least we are able to bring in front of our eyes this wonderful, the way the verses are described, we are able to see how Krishna would have been when he was playing the flute. So thank you so much for that. All glories unto you. I think you really relished every sentence that you spoke. We could see through your speaking. Thank you so much for that. And definitely the entire class was very, very meditative. Every single verse that you covered was excellent. And thank you for finishing the entire chapter actually and giving that importance to that one particular verse, the 5th verse. It was amazing. It was really, really beautiful the way you explained it, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Very, very grateful to you for your time and for your detailed research, which you always do in every session that you, hear or give. So we are so thankful to you for that. Thank you, Prabhu. I really don't have any questions. It was very meditative. And I request everyone else on the call to also ask your questions or say what you felt. And that would be wonderful. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Oh, you want to speak for Mataji? Please go ahead, Prabhuji.
No, fine, Mataji. Fine. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mataji. And yes, we should thank our seniors who have given us this knowledge. And thanks to Prabhupada who gave the books for us. We can read and a lot more things from Bhagavatam. Was his lifetime mission and will be our lifetime's mission for us. So thank you, Mataji.
Yeah, and I also wanted to, the paintings, right? They were so beautiful. You said it was directly from, probably the Garangdarshan Prabhu's next few books that he's going to publish. So they were so beautiful, really glories to the artist as well. So nicely captured every single mood of the verse. Each verse has a particular mood, and that mood has been captured in those paintings. It was very beautiful, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Very, very beautiful class, Prabhuji. You went through first Bhagavatam verse. And initially, first you started with Chaitanya Charitamrita verse, where it was, it helps us also to understand that only because of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy we can speak something. Otherwise, we cannot speak. And you went to Bhagavatam, each and every verse, and you had notes separately. You had PPT. So much of preparation, Prabhuji. I really like the way you went to the Antya Leela about how gopis and were describing about the flute, how everybody was feeling. And because we just recently finished those all chapters, it was like very nice recap for me what we heard before. Thank you, Prabhuji. Such a beautiful, beautiful class. Lots and lots of preparation you had made, Prabhuji. Very grateful to you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Mataji. Thank you. All glories to all devotees from whom I have heard.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, please go ahead if you have any questions and realize.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Salamitai, Shashi Radha Gopinath ki jai. Wonderful class, Prabhuji. Feel that sitting in Shashi Radha Gopinath and that Ji Gauranga Prabhuji, that Ji Gaur Gopal Prabhuji has given a class. You prepared so nicely about explaining about the Shidam Vrindavan Dham, Lata, Pata, Peacock, Tree. They are not ordinary personality. When we enter in Shidam Vrindavan Dham with Achyut Radhanath Maharaj, we embrace the tree also, because they are all are a Guru Maharaj or maybe a senior Rishi Muni. They wants to enter in Shidam Vrindavan Dham, and Prabhuji, we not able to enter in Dham, but you take us in a Dham, and that Vaijanti Mala and the mood of gopis and the few six notes, that is Kam, Krodh, Lomo, Matsa, the peacock, the Pihu, the Vrindavan Rajkan, Rajraj, and all are so happy when they are, and gopis and gwalas and Gaya Maharanis, and they all are entering bhav mein aa jate when Lord Krishna is playing flute. So nicely explained about the Vaijanti Mala and gopis bhav. Hari Hari Gauranga Dandavat Pranam to your sincere seva, Prabhuji. It is really wonderful Leela you explained to all of us. Take us in a dham, Prabhuji. That much potency in your today's class. So much work hard. You work hard, Prabhuji. And we prepare a notes, then we understand that one Bhakti Sangha teacher is a spiritual bomb. They are working hard to take up 15-20 books and preparing from there all books, so that we have to hear very attentively. Hari Hari Gauranga, Jai Jai Nityananda, Jai Jai Gauranga. Thank you, Prabhuji. Shishi Gopi Gita, Shishi Gopi Bhav Ki Jai.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. So Shri very wonderful. Nice. It just transported me to Vrindavan, you know. A nice description about the very different kinds of fruits and everything. It's wonderful. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you.
Please give us more and more nectar like this. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. Okay, Mataji, then we can end here.
Yes, Prabhuji, if there are no more realizations.
So Mataji, can you also please read the chat comments?
Yeah. So, this is from the Bhakti Sangha Japa group. I don't know who wrote. Wonderful class and meditative. Thank you for your association. Supriya Mataji is saying, very nice class, Prabhuji. And Lalitangi Mataji also has one comment. Very nice explanation of the verses. Thank you so much for the wonderful class. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, for Hare. Such a wonderful class and very nice meditative, so beautifully narrated all the verses. Yes, Prabhu, everybody is. Parima Mataji is saying, thank you for so much very nectarian class and very, very, very well presented. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, everybody is appreciating your class, Prabhu. Really, it is so wonderful. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class. We are very grateful to you. Lots and lots of preparation I have done from your side, Prabhu. Thank you, Hare Krishna. If there are no more questions and realizations, we can end the call. I would like to offer my obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas assembled. அசம்பளோ அந்த கால் வாஞ்ச கல்பதரோ பியஸ்ட கிருபா சிந்துபியை விஜபதி தானாம் பாவனேபியோ வைஷ்ணவேபியோ நமோ நம. அனந்த கோட்டி வைஷ்ணவ வ்ருந்தி ஜெய். ஸ்ரீல பிரபுபாத் கி ஜெய். சுரேஸ்வர ஷாம் பிரபுஜி கி ஜெய்.
தேங்க்யூ பிரபுஜி, தேங்க்யூ சோ மச்.